Cambridge Certificate in Proficiency English Preparation course by Cambridge Institute. This recording is copyrighted. This is the Cambridge Proficiency English Listening Test. Test 1. Now you will hear the instructions for this test. I'll introduce each part of the test and give you time to look at the questions. At the start of each piece, you will hear this sound. You will hear each piece twice. Now look at part 1. You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. Extract 1. You hear two people talk about cheese making. Now look at questions 1 and 2.
This cheese is amazing. And homemade, you dark horse. So, let me in on the secret.
Well, it's fairly straightforward, really. First, you heat up 5 kilos of sheep's milk, but don't boil it, mind. And you add either lemon juice or vinegar to this to make it curdle. Then, using a strainer, you empty this into a cotton bag, which you then tie up and hang somewhere so that all the juices can drain away. Preferably, this will be somewhere reasonably cool and airy, like a storeroom or pantry. You leave it hanging like this for a couple of days, adding a little salt each day until it starts to turn yellow. Then you place it in a jar of olive oil. And if you like, you can pierce it with peppercorns and spices to give it extra flavor. Here, you can see I've added poppy seeds. The great thing about it is that it'll keep in the oil. No need for a fridge.
And it's delicious. Can I have another bit? This cheese is amazing. And homemade, you dark horse. So, let me in on the secret.
Well, it's fairly straightforward, really. First, you heat up 5 kilos of sheep's milk, but don't boil it, mind. And you add either lemon juice or vinegar to this to make it curdle. Then, using a strainer, you empty this into a cotton bag, which you then tie up and hang somewhere so that all the juices can drain away. Preferably, this will be somewhere reasonably cool and airy, like a storeroom or pantry. You leave it hanging like this for a couple of days, adding a little salt each day until it starts to turn yellow. Then you place it in a jar of olive oil. And if you like, you can pierce it with peppercorns and spices to give it extra flavor. Here, you can see I've added poppy seeds. The great thing about it is that it'll keep in the oil. No need for a fridge.
And it's delicious. Can I have another bit?
Extract 2. You hear a woman speaking about a condition she suffers from. Now look at questions 3 and 4.
How can I describe it? This feeling I get. You know, like I'm standing on the edge of a precipice and I'll be okay one minute, and I think, great, I've got it licked. Then suddenly, this wave of nausea wells up inside me, and everything starts swimming, and I just want to pitch myself into the void, like the force of gravity is pulling me over, and I'm powerless to prevent it. The funny thing about it is, it can happen anywhere, irrespective of the distance from the ground. I may be on a station platform and suddenly the tracks will have this magnetic effect on me, or I could be on a fifth floor balcony. One time, I'll never forget it. It seems so ridiculous now. I was clambering over rocks on the shore with my son, and I had this attack, and I can't have been more than 5 feet above sea level. I tried to fight it, you know, it really gets to me, but it completely overwhelmed me. I mean, imagine being rescued by a 9-year-old boy. I was mortified, but anyone who gets it will tell you there's nothing you can do. How can I describe it? This feeling I get, you know, like I'm standing on the edge of a precipice and I'll be okay one minute, and I think, great, I've got it licked. Then suddenly, This wave of nausea wells up inside me, and everything starts swimming, and I just want to pitch myself into the void, like the force of gravity is pulling me over, and I'm powerless to prevent it. The funny thing about it is, it can happen anywhere, irrespective of the distance from the ground. I may be on a station platform and suddenly the tracks will have this magnetic effect on me, or I could be on a fifth floor balcony. One time, I'll never forget it. It seems so ridiculous now. I was clambering over rocks on the shore with my son, and I had this attack, and I can't have been more than 5 feet above sea level. I tried to fight it, you know, it really gets to me, but it completely overwhelmed me. I mean, imagine being rescued by a 9-year-old boy. I was mortified, but anyone who gets it will tell you there's nothing you can do.
Extract 3. You hear a horse riding instructor talking about his job. Now look at questions 5 and 6.
And my next guest on the program is Edward Hicks, who is a riding instructor. Edward, what made you decide on this line of work?
It wasn't a conscious decision, it simply happened. As a kid, I used to spend every spare moment at the stables, so it seemed like a natural development. Also, my family couldn't afford to buy me my own horse, so this was one way to ensure unlimited access to riding. To do this job, you have to live and breathe horses and riding. I think, like any work connected with animals, it's never just a job, it's a way of life. And if you're married and have children, the rest of the family naturally follows suit. It's great fun working with children and horses, because there's so much laughter and love, I get a lot out of it. The only thing I moan about occasionally is the weather. Hot or cold, I have to be out there.
What hopes do you have for the stables?
To grow in size, so that we can gain financial support in order to develop the athletic side of the school for entry in competitions. But it's not easy. Horse riding is an expensive sport.
And my next guest on the program is Edward Hicks, who is a riding instructor. Edward, what made you decide on this line of work?
It wasn't a conscious decision, it simply happened. As a kid, I used to spend every spare moment at the stables, so it seemed like a natural development. Also, my family couldn't afford to buy me my own horse, so this was one way to ensure unlimited access to riding. To do this job, you have to live and breathe horses and riding. I think, like any work connected with animals, it's never just a job, it's a way of life. And if you're married and have children, the rest of the family naturally follows suit. It's great fun working with children and horses, because there's so much laughter and love, I get a lot out of it. The only thing I moan about occasionally is the weather. Hot or cold, I have to be out there.
What hopes do you have for the stables?
To grow in size, so that we can gain financial support in order to develop the athletic side of the school for entry in competitions. But it's not easy. Horse riding is an expensive sport.
That's the end of part one. Now turn to part two.